हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Top of page 3, Sutra 1-22. Viseshana bheda vyapare sach cha ne tarau. Viseshana, modifiers, bheda, difference. Vyapare shat, because of the description, cha and na, not, itarau, the other two. The verses do not refer to Prakriti or the jiva because words distinguish the Lord from Prakriti in the first passage and words distinguish the Lord from the jiva in the second. Sutra Prakashika. While the previous sutra established how the description matched Paramatma, this sutra explains how the description does not match the other candidates in the Samshaya, Pradhan and jiva. These latter two are disqualified from being the topic of discussion because Prakriti is not omniscient, sarvajna, and the condition jiva is not transcendental, divya. Right? So you're going from both angles, that it is the Lord and it can't be the jivas and the pradhan. Right? So from both sides, because otherwise the doubt might remain. Sven? Yes?
I had a question from yesterday.
Oh, yes, that's right.
So Prabhu yesterday asked about chitta and exactly what chitta was, and you described it as the polluted consciousness. I'm wondering if it's actually the consciousness that's polluted or it's just the filter through which the consciousness perceives that it's polluted.
Yes. The consciousness is polluted, and therefore, because of that pollution, it prefers to see through particular filters.
But doesn't that mean that the consciousness, which is the soul, it means that the soul is...
No, it means the polluted consciousness is covering pure consciousness.
Okay,
so just like, so you have pure consciousness, but the jiva doesn't identify with that. The jiva identifies, I'm the controller and enjoyer. That's the pollution.
Okay.
Right? Then from that, then you get the subtle body, and then you get the gross body.
Okay.
So that means basically there's three coverings on the soul. Right? The stula sharir, the karana sharir, what's the subtle?
Shukshma
sharir. Linga sharir. Same. Right, so the gross body, the subtle body, and the polluted consciousness. Because polluted consciousness is considered one of the material elements. So, but that is gained before they come into the material world. Right, so that's why how long they've been conditioned is said to be anadi. You can't put a time on it. And why? Because if it was in, because well, one, you could look at it, okay, if it's within the material sphere, we say anadi because it's just a heck of a long time. So therefore, we just say it's, you know, forever. You know, like, how long have we been sitting here? Yeah, forever. You know, like, you know what I'm saying? You can put an exact time on it. But this is because it's before time and space. Well, one is situated in the spiritual platform that one takes up this consciousness, I am seeing Krishna's energy separate from him. So that means we shift our vision from the primary of Krishna to the secondary. Right? And then when we do that, that's when we take on this material consciousness. So since it's not happening within the material sphere, it's given the term anadi because it's beyond calculation within the material because it doesn't belong to the material world. Does that make sense? So while we're still in the spiritual world, we're already conditioned. Because we've taken up the wrong mentality?
Don't you automatically get booted from the spiritual world if you take up the wrong mentality?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It means it doesn't take long. It's not that nanosecond and you're not there. It just means you're there, but you're inconsequential because no one cares about you because you're in material consciousness. It's like the yogic Brahmins. They're not Krishna conscious, but they're in the spiritual world.
Isn't that part of the Leela, though? Yogamaya?
That's there, means those living entities that want to play that part, they're there. Then they become Krishna conscious. But we unfortunately don't become, so we end up here. You know what I'm saying? So they could be devotees that are less of, or that's the Sundini potency, so then they're not jivas. But the principle is the same. Right? So being situated in the spiritual platform, we're neutral. And so instead of turning our attention towards Krishna, which is the primary, we turn our attention towards the secondary. And because of that, then we're placed here. Because secondary consciousness means it's all about the external. Right? And then when we're here, we divide it again into, of secondary, what's primary and secondary. Right? So then what actually affects getting something materially done? Within, I'm the controller and enjoyer. Does that make sense? So successful people, they're able to catch the primary of the secondary. And everybody else is working on the secondary. Right? And then you have those that within the secondary, they work on not the primary of that, but the secondary of that. So they're the secondary, right? Technically, according to modern calculations on that, generally they're blonde. Okay? You know what I'm saying? That total external, not understanding anything about, you know, it's just really, really shallow. So it just keeps going down. So what's happening is that you're adding more of the secondary. That's why it gets worse. So even on the material platform, we understand that it's bad. But that's below us. We can catch that. What's above us, we don't see. Because within within that realm, within the material world, those that are successful and are controlling and enjoying the material world, they see those on the common platform as not understanding. Right, so just as we look at those who are really shallow as below the standard, they look at us as below the standard. But the point is all of it's below the standard because it's not about the secondary, it's about the primary. It's about Krishna. So that's Krishna consciousness, is switching that to Krishna. So that's why we start off with karma yoga, jnana yoga, because then it's about the secondary, but we've connected the secondary to Krishna. Does that make sense? But as we so in the beginning that may be sakam, that it's about us. But you know we understand the importance of and we're inspired to include Krishna in it, right? So it's progressive. With time, that'll come to nishkam, where it's not about the results for us, but we still prefer that secondary. But then it gets to what Krishna says in the end of the Gita. Then it's you give up that secondary altogether. Right, it's all about the primary. It's just about him. And then to express that primary, you use secondary. But it's not about the secondary. It's about how to successfully use the secondary to manifest the primary. So that's why those, at the higher up you go, they're better at using the secondary. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because the more you're attached to something on the secondary platform, the less one's able to use the secondary properly. Does that make sense? Yeah.
I loved your statement in class yesterday. Why is Krishna so good with the girls? Because he's unattached.
Yes. Yeah. So that's the point. And because we're attached, that's where we have a problem. But if we're attached to him, then our working with the energy works nice. But when we try to work with it directly, then it doesn't work out. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a nice I like that.
Okay. Very good. Yes.
It's interesting that Vedanta Sutra is all about primary, but somehow Mayavadis, they approach it from the secondary, so they try to take it down to
yes.
this level.
Yes, yes.
And
yes.
very consistent.
Yes. No, it's oh, it means you could only it means how would they work this out? They wouldn't work it out to this degree, so it's only because Shankaracharya came and helped them to, you know, bewilder them, then they could do it. So even their ability to do this so well is still coming from a great devotee. So if you look at it, is the basis of all these are all great devotees. Means your, how do you say, your Buddhism's coming from the Lord. You know, this impersonal is coming from Shankaracharya, you know, for Lord Shiva. Devotee, then the other schools, the bogus philosophy, they're coming from Vyasadeva, you know, who's the Lord. So it's all coming from there, and even your modern, your Abrahamic, is, you know, it's coming from people who are connected. How you say the idea that the devotional aspect connected to the Lord, that surrender to the Lord. So it comes up, you know, your Christianity, then you know somebody. Who excels in that area, you know, in the preaching and all that. So then it all comes back to it's all those who have that element of the Vaishnav nature, either more directly or less directly. You know, even the Islam then is connected back to Lord Shiva. You know, just they don't necessarily see him in the... They don't necessarily understand him in that devotional light. You know, so, but the point is that it always goes back. Religion is established by the Lord. It can't be established by anybody else. You know, people make up things, but, you know, as far as it lasting, you know, that's another thing. You know, it's like these others have stood, you know, how you say, what do you call it? Stood the something of time?
Test of time.
Test of time. Right? You know, Abrahamic been around for, you know, yeah, practically 5,000 years, you know, then all these, they've all been around a while, you know, but, and you see other things, people come up, and then they disappear. So, yeah, because it has to be established by the Lord. So, yeah, but exactly as you say, that's what makes it material, is it's secondary. Just like the smartas, they're dealing with something that could be used for primary, using all the rituals, but they use it just for getting facility in the material world. Well, you see, the same Karmakanda yajnas were being performed by Prithu Maharaj, by Priyavrata, by Rishabdev, Bharat Maharaj, but they were using it for primary. So that's the trick, is that all these things, they have that point where they can be used either way. That's the point in discussion, because it means if we say, okay, what's in the spiritual world, one's with Krishna and everything like that, and then that's okay, that makes sense. And then the gross, disgusting materialist who's out there and all nonsense, that we understand. But what's in between, because it looks like it's something from here, or it looks like it's from something from there. So that's the difficulty. You know, the smartas, they look like great devotees, or the sahajas, the Goswamis, because they're using the same forms that we do, but the consciousness is mundane. You know, or then like that, how is Priyavrata performing a Karmakanda yajna and it's still devotional? You know, is that sense? So that's the point, is that you have this means. So what's actually the difference is the consciousness. What we get confused is we think everything's about the secondary, because we're still, that's our conditioning. But no, everything's about the primary. The consciousness is on the primary, it's spiritual. The consciousness is on the mundane, it's material. So the secondary actually is defined on what the consciousness is. So I'm cooking, but I'm Krishna conscious, so it's spiritual. I'm cooking, but I'm not Krishna conscious, it's material. But we're taking it, no, the cooking is what makes it spiritual. Right? Does that make sense? So, in other words, Prabhupada gave us these all these activities of devotional service, the standard practices of devotional service. And devotees are performing them, but not being necessarily so refined. Some are do quite well with it. Some are a little less refined in application. So then, in doing that, then it's perceived that there's a disturbance. They disturb other devotees. They don't deal nicely. They disturb those who are not devotees. And so we want to correct that. But instead of improving the consciousness, then the focus is on the secondary. So they shift the secondary from, this is what you do, these are the standard ways of doing things, from authority, they drop it down into the level of pranamoy, because then we can add in all these wonderfulness about, all together and everybody happy and everybody nice and all that. Well, that's already there on the spiritual platform. The material can't do that, but we're not using the primary as a solution, we're using the secondary. So then the secondary shifts. And then it seems like this new secondary is so much more spiritual, or so much more nice and wonderful. But because it's pranamoy, it's only economic. Therefore, you see, when it's discussed, it sounds great, but in application, it's terrible. Yes?
It's ironic, but actually, by definition, we are an educational movement.
Yes.
But now we learn from hearts.
Yes. Yes. And means, in other words, from inside, we just focus on economics and management. Man and money, the standard thing. And then from outside, we get education. But it should be, we're doing the education, and, like that. Let them provide the men and the money. Yeah, that's the thing, is that if it's on primary, then everything's properly connected. And if it's on the secondary, then nothing's properly connected. That's why we were saying in the end of that aspect with Mohini Murti and the demons, then it's mentioned that there'll be many people dressed as devotees, but they're actually karmis. Because you see, many people follow the Vedic principles that are connected with, what's proper, like with smartas. You look at them, if you didn't know, you look at their lifestyle, you would think this is a devotional lifestyle. But they're karmis. Like that. As we mentioned, caste goes on. So many like that. So we make that mistake. So it's not, it's a matter of, it's a karmi mentality, but they're willing to use higher principles to get it. Because that's one of the points that's made. You're a materialist, but better you go to the Supreme Lord for your materialism. So we're not saying, get rid of these people. What we're saying is, don't follow that example. That's improper. Be able to distinguish between what's pure spiritual and what's not. Is that... Yes. No, it says Prabhupada wanted that the temples, they are a place of learning, study. That's what we do. We go out, we educate. Rather than we go out and do a community program to get everyone on board for the new temple project. Right? No, it's we're going out making them Krishna conscious, because they're Krishna conscious, then they want to engage in activities connected to Krishna consciousness. So what's connected? The temple project. Right? But we just go directly at that, but we miss out on the consciousness. So as long as they're taking part, externally, then we're happy. But what about internally? Then after time we see, what's going on. Last year was so great, this year everybody's doing their own thing, because we never address that. So that's the point, is book distribution is education. Doing programs is education. In the temple, it's education. Is that like that? Before you could say it was about education, but it wasn't very sophisticated, the didactics of how they did it. Like I remember coming into the temple, there wasn't a time when someone wasn't telling me what was the proper way to do something. Everybody would say, because when I would have come, then I would have been the newest guy there. So everybody else was senior to me. So everybody told, from the littlest detail. And in 2 weeks, I knew everything about how the Vaishnava lifestyle, you know, how good we are at it, that's another thing, but knew everything. And so, but nowadays, as you say, hey, you shouldn't do like, oh, no, don't tell them like that. So it's all about the didactic. It's not about the Krishna consciousness. So then that's a problem. So it's about the secondary, and the secondary that we're using isn't even Vedic. It's like you said, we're using the modern. We're using outside. And we all know how well the outside education is going. You know? Like we're saying, no, no, but then everybody will like it. Who likes Karmi education? Right? Like that. You know, the guys in nursery school and kindergarten seem to be doing all right. But then after that, it just starts going down. You get in junior high, high school, they hate it. College, most people don't like it. You know, maybe when you get to postgraduate, okay, then either it's they can't figure out anything else to do, so they have to do it, or they actually like education. So that means 20 years of your life you didn't really like. You know? And then somehow or another we're supposed to follow this, that it's so much more perfect. You know? But, so, okay. Sri Govinda Bhasha. The other two, Itarao, Prakriti, and Jiva, cannot be indicated by the verses because the words such as omniscient in the first verse distinguish the being from Prakriti, and because the words like Divya in the second verse distinguish the being from the Jiva. Thus, both verses refer to the Supreme Person who is the cause of everything. Right? So it's that they're taking it that it basically fits. All the different descriptions there, you could take some of those and apply them to the jiva or prakriti. And so therefore, because that's what they want, then they'll see it that way. But Jiva Goswami, Baladev Vijibhushan is pointing out that, no, these points, how you say, omniscience and transcendental, since they don't apply, then it can't be about them, because it should be, it's complete, right? It's not just a ballpark, you know. Upanishads aren't ballpark. You know, well, it's kind of in the area. It's good enough, you know. No, it's exact. It's a science. Therefore, if it says transcendental or omniscient, they must fit. So if you take omniscient and all the other qualities, they all match the supreme. And if you remove omniscient, maybe you could apply it to Prakriti. But the point is omniscient is there, so it must include that. Same with the jiva, divya. He's conditioned. So it can't apply to him. So therefore, on the point of scientific and being logical, you'd have to accept it. But as like you pointed out, they're bewildered by Shankaracharya. And so therefore, they can't see it properly. Yes?
You made a very grand statement. Weighty statements. How do we avoid disconnect from them, making sure that they come to the personal aspect, because in of themselves they can be quite very lofty ideas.
No, because the point is where does lofty come from? It comes from the person. That's the whole point, is all loftiness comes from the person. It's based on the person. So the impersonal is, its foundation is the person. It's coming from the person. It's not that the impersonal stands on its own and then there's a person also. And then so you can, you know, is it impersonal? Is it personal? No. It's the person and then everything comes from them. You know, it's just like, let's say you have a big grand arrangement, some factory or some estate or some program. What's that based on? It's just on its own? It's just the estate happened on its own? Like that. So then, and there's a person living there. So now, you know, who is it? Is it the person that made the estate, or the estate makes the person? Right? Because the person lives in that estate. And so they're asked, oh, where do you live? Oh, I live here. Oh, you know. So that meant the estate made the person. Otherwise, before, he was just a bozo there. Right? Another guy that, you know, you're hoping to get away from, you know, before. But then you find out he's there. Oh, now you're happy to talk. But the point is who made the estate? The person. So there may be a dynamic there, but that dynamic is, why is it special? Because of the person. So it's only through the secondary that then you appreciate the primary. Mm-hmm. That's how it is. Primary is manifest through secondary. Mm-hmm. But we have to understand secondary is totally dependent on primary. Primary is not. Primary exists whether it's manifest or not. Right? Krishna's greatness exists whether we appreciate it or not. But then he lifts Govardhan Hill, so because of that secondary, we can appreciate his greatness. You understand? Krishna as a baby is still omnipotent. Therefore, as a little baby who's crawling around, he can kill Trinavarta, who's a monster demon. So the same potency is used as an adult as it's a kid. So it's not that, you know, he's small, so he can only kill small demons, and then as he gets bigger, he can kill bigger. It's the same. So, but it's the secondary that manifests. So that's the thing. The Lord's pastimes manifest his greatness. That's the glory of the secondary, when it's connected to him. But when it's not connected to him, the material, it's not glorious at all. Right? But why does it have potency? Why does it have a seeming glory, even if we can't see it connected to him? Because it is connected to him. Whether we appreciate it or not, Krishna did create it. He is the, you know, he is, what is it? Immanent. So it means he's in everything. That's why it's there. But we catch his immanence when there's eminence. Right? It means when there's something we can identify, okay, this is great. Then we'll go, oh, see? You know, it's just like, what do you call it? You go down there, you have the preachers there, right? Now, what he's saying is absolute truth, and he's a great person, whether anybody appreciates it or not. But they all think he's just another bozo, right? So he holds a program, invites everybody there, and on purpose doesn't make any arrangements for feeding anybody. Right? Then, when it comes time to feed everybody, because at a program you should feed everybody, then he takes, you know, some small amount, I think it's what, one loaf of bread and something else, and distributes it to the thousands of people who are there. Now they go, okay, now this guy's special. But according to his teachings, they couldn't care less. Even today, who knows his teachings? You know, it's just, oh no, he's the great one. You understand? So the point is secondary and primary go together, but the point is primary on its own stands on its own. We may not appreciate it, but it still exists. But secondary, unless it's connected to the primary, doesn't have any meaning. Right? You have a kitchen, never cook in it, does it have any meaning? No. But if you cook, which is the primary purpose, then it has a value. You know, it's just like, let's say, You have the fabulous kitchen, right? You know, brought in the best people, most expensive, whatever could be there, it's there. And then you have this lady, she's a professional, she's always at her job, she's never at home, she never uses it. Others will say it's a waste. But you have someone who's always in the kitchen, really into cooking, does all these things, invites friends over, does amazing things, and they all appreciate it. They'll say, now this is a proper use of the kitchen. The kitchen becomes amazing then. The other is just the same kitchen, but you just think it's a waste. So the secondary only has meaning when it's connected to the primary. And the secondary is what manifests the primary. So that's why so much focus is put on the secondary, because that's where the interaction happens. The interaction happens through the secondary, but it's about the primary. The love between the devotee and the Lord, That's the primary. But how do you know that they love the Lord? Through the secondary. How do they express it? This is why it becomes confusing. So therefore we think, you know, it's all about the secondary. No, it's all about the primary. Oh, so we don't need the secondary. No, how do you manifest it? Oh, so then we need that, so the secondary becomes the real thing. No, it's about the primary. Like this, you can go on forever. Like that. That's the whole problem. So,
Maharaj, is it correct to say that we only really understand Krishna in his interaction with his energies?
Yes. Otherwise, we can't. How will we see? Means we're not the supreme, so actually, on that level, we can't relate. We're energy, so we can relate to him through the medium of energy. Because he can relate to energy because it's non-different from him. Right? But we're not him, so therefore we can't relate unless it's through the energies. Yes.
I remember the first time I read Krishna book, and you know, all the love affairs between him and the gopis, and I was going boring, you know, like this. And then when he divided himself into many Krishnas, when he performed that miracle,
okay,
then I went, oh.
Okay, yeah. So that's why he does this.
I said, you know, he divided himself into millions of Krishnas and started dancing with each gopi. I went, oh. First time I was reading Krishna book.
Okay.
You know, before that, I just... The primary thing is love between him and the gopis. I couldn't understand.
Him,
when
yes,
he
yes.
had manifested the second to his only tongue. You
know, yes. Yes.
Went, oh.
Okay. Yeah. So that's why he does it. It's to attract the devotees. But it's attractive to devotees, but those like us who are not devotees or are practicing, then that attracts us, because like you said, we'll catch that part. And then with time, by association, then we catch the part about the prema. So that's why karma yoga, jnana yoga is using the secondary, but connecting it to Krishna, so it becomes empowered. But with time, by focusing on the primary, then we come to that point. That's why the discussions, even though we have... We're perfectly comfortable with people engaging whatever situation they're in connected to Krishna. But we're uncomfortable if one says that that's all you have to do. No, pure devotion is what you have to do. We'll start anywhere. You know, we'll start with anything. You know, it's just like the kid's room is a total mess. I mean, absolute. There's not a square inch that's not covered. And the mom says, clean up the room. And so he picks up one thing, puts it somewhere, and then runs off thinking that I've done it. So mom says, okay, we'll start with that. You know, we'll take that. Okay, it's a progress. You know, then we'll try to get him to pick up two things. You know, it's like, so we're going to start there. But if you say that now that's just as good as pure devotional service, then we'll say that's absolutely and totally bogus. I mean, just, you know, we can't stress it enough how much nonsense it is. But if you say, no, it's connected and so it's progressive, then we'll say yes, no matter how small it is. You know, like that pastime where Prabhupada's giving class in 22nd Avenue and that drunk comes careening in with a whole stack of toilet paper and somehow or another, you know, with lots of commotion and that, you know, gets it all put in the bathroom and then comes out and then I think tips his hat or something and then walks out. He started devotional service. That was devotional service. So it's accepted that. We don't, oh, he's drunk, he's this, he's that. No, that's devotional service. But now if we say that's just as good as those devotees sitting there practicing the sadhana and bhajana kriya, then we'll say no. So that's the thing we have to discriminate. Yeah. Yes.
I'm just trying to understand in terms of primary and secondary rasas. Do the secondary rasas exist on their own, or it's always in connection with the primary?
In the material world, yes, but in the spiritual world, no.
So it is possible that the secondary rasa is the main rasa of a person in Vaikuntha?
No. I'm saying in the material world, secondary being prominent, it is possible. In the spiritual world, no, it'll always be based on the primary. Just like the cowherd boys, that's the primary rasa, so that's the Stai Bhava. Now in that there might be chivalry.
Yeah.
You know, when they're all, yes, I can beat you in the wrestling match and stuff like that. But it's all in support of the primary, which is friendship. But in the material world, you can have friends that's just based on chivalry, and there actually is no real friendship. But here, because that's all the better it gets, we identify it as that. Right? All the guys are standing around and making goofing on something else, or looking at that girl, or this, or that. Then they'll call themselves friends. But actually, when push comes to shove, they're not friends at all. So that's, it mentions that very subtly in the third verse of Bhagavatam when it introduces rasa, that the secondary Prabhupada mentions is that people don't really taste the primary here. It's all about everything else. Now, as devotees, you can. But for the non-devotees, it's not. There may be a nicer form of it, but the focus generally is on the secondary. There may be moments here and there, but it's not consistent. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Just like the Sanchari Bhavas, those are in support of the main. You know, you have, in other words, you have the Stai Bhava, that's the fix, that's the main. Yeah. Then from that, you're going to have within that, there'll be so many things that will inspire you in that rasa. That's the Vibhava. Right? It means Krishna is the enjoyer, the one is the ashray. So then the activities between and that the paraphernalia or situations in which that's nicely manifested. That'll be Vibhava. So that will give rise to Bhava. Right? That will then, from that will come the Anubhava. So the different, mental transformations that have effect in the physical, but it's a mental transformation. Then, from that being quite strong, if it takes on, something to do with life airs, then it takes on a physical form. Therefore, crying, this, that. Does that make sense? Then the Sanchari will be subtle, transitory, mental flavors within the main. You have an anubhav, let's say happiness, but within that there can be all the transitory ones that come up and down.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like you're happy, but then, you know, what about this and what about that, and then back to happy, and then, so they can move through that. So you have all that happening at once. So that's rasa. Does that make sense? Yeah.
I'm just thinking about Krishna there, that it seems that his rasa is Shiva. It's no other rasa as such.
It's servitorship. But within that, then it's chivalry.
Okay.
But it's servitorship. So we'll take there. So that'll be, so it may be because that's where the interaction happens. So then you take that flavor. But he's servant. Like that. You know, it's just like, let's say, okay. Let us say, just as an example, means his servitorship remains even though there's chivalry. Right? But now let's say that there's two friends and they get into a chivalrous kind of thing. They might forget that they're friends. They get so absorbed in the chivalry and winning and you know, like that, or being right, that they forget. You know, but that's not, you know, yogamaya. That's mahabaya. It means they're self-centered. While on the transcendental, they may forget, but it doesn't. They never forget the Lord. It's never about themselves. So the chivalry is always about pleasing the Lord. So that's where the difference is. Does it remain on the primary, or does it go to the secondary? You know. So as energy, we're secondary. So when we put the focus on ourselves, that means our view is secondary. And where we put the view on Krishna, that means it's primary. So even if we put on other people, if we don't see them in connection with Krishna, it's still secondary. It may be recommended secondary, like we deal with Vaishnavas properly, but if we're dealing because that's the etiquette, we should be nice, we should be good, then you will get credit on dealing with Vaishnavas properly. But you won't get as much credit if you saw them as devotees and connected to Krishna. And that's why that pleases Krishna to deal like that. That's why you're dealing. That's why we're making distinction. You know, so we see Vedanta Sutra, it's about that fine distinction. And then you see within the Bhagavatam, as we progress, it's getting more and more into that fine distinction. So that we understand exactly what's pure devotion. Otherwise, then we'll have so many ideas. You know, it's like what he's discussing here, what he brought up, is that how could you in the spiritual world have a mentality other than pure devotion? But the point is the spiritual realm is a situation. And then within that situation, then you have what's your actual consciousness. You know, it's an ideal situation. You know, and what's his name? Shankachuda thought it was ideal. I mean, check out the girls. I mean, you just don't get that many, you know, that quality girl anywhere. So he was impressed. So he appreciated, you know, the situation. But he didn't appreciate on the transcendental platform. He saw it on the material. So because of that, then... So sat is the situation, right? Then chit's what you do for what purpose. So when that purpose is Krishna, then we'll say that satchitananda, that's in line, it's transcendental. But we may be on the spiritual platform, but if our chit is performing an activity that gets a result that's about us, then it's material. Right? Because we're looking at secondary, we'll think, no, you can't be in the spiritual world like that. Like, think, no, you can't fall down from the spiritual platform, because there you can't have lust or this or that. It says, no, the point is this living entity can, because it's a situation. But what we see, like in the Krishna book, that's devotees who are fully absorbed in Krishna. So that is the transcendental platform. But you can be situated on eternity and not be transcendental. Because the soul is eternal. Is that? Yeah, it's a subtle. That's what we're saying. That part in between is the hard part to understand. You know, it's like, these guys are good, those guys are bad. That's easy. Right? Us and them works really well. But then if you have one of them that's nice, it's freaky. They can't relate. It just goes out of there.
Also, most of the discussion is that how we fell down from the situation. So the real question behind it is how can we get back into the situation? Nobody cares about relationship or the person. It's just, let's get back to situation.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And then you have those that the garden is there, the sword is still there lighting the east, and nobody cares. We're fine here, you know. We're doing great, you know. So how that works, that's, like you said, exactly. It's we're looking at it situationally. We're looking at the secondary, how to get, or like we were discussing the other day, it's like if we look at Sarvadharma and Parityaja, then we're going to look at it, okay, Krishna will sarvapapebhyo, he'll save us from all sins, so that means he'll save us from all the reactions, means the secondary external point. But the main point actually is he'll save you from the reactions in consciousness. Because if I do sin, my consciousness becomes polluted. So what will I do? More sin. But if he saves us from that, that means then we'll be Krishna conscious. But that will only happen when we surrender to him. Because he's the only one that can take us above the material. He's Mukunda. We're not Mukunda. Because we'll think, no, I'll do it myself, because we think I'm God. I'll control myself, I'll do it. No, it's by surrendering to him, he'll control it. But we have to be consistently surrendered, then we'll be consistently controlled. So it's actually another level. Because then as you're looking at the relationship and that, which we normally don't. We look at, okay, I'm here, I'm suffering. If I surrender to Krishna, the suffering will go away. Rather than, I'm here suffering because I'm not connected to Krishna. If I connect to Krishna, then everything becomes perfect. Rather than, but the middle stage is, I surrender to Krishna, therefore, then, this will get better. But it's actually, it's about, if I'm with Krishna, then who cares? The situations are good, bad, one doesn't care.
Said how Preeti Maharaj, Prashad Dev, these devotees, they were performing yajnas, but they were performing yajnas only concerned about primary, in other words, only concerned about reason Krishna. They weren't really concerned about the secondary, which is the result of the yajna.
Yes.
And you said everything could be used in that way, either
please
the primary or to improve the secondary and your position in the secondary. So the question I have is, can the Maha Mantra be used that way? Because it seems to me that the Maha Mantra is only about the primary, and it doesn't really have, can it be used for secondary results?
It means it's a matter of you go to the Lord, and you turn to the Lord, and you want something secondary, you'll gain that. So the holy name will fulfill whatever desire is there. But if one's sincere about Krishna consciousness, he'll fulfill the desire in such a way that the desire goes away. But if you just want the mundane, then you can get that. he can give.
So through chanting Hare Krishna, I'm just...
Yes, no, you could get anything.
You can get mundane things.
You could. But the point is Prabhupada gives the example of going to an immensely rich person, and instead of asking for $1 million, you ask for 10 rupees. You know, so you could get the material from the holy name, but then why would you? The same endeavor you could get, be situated on the platform of prema. So therefore, why do that? You could, but why do that?
Well, I'm just saying that it seems to me a lot of people are trying to do that, that's why.
You can. But that's why then maintain
I'm
material attaches...
I'm just wondering whether such a pure tool can be used in such a...
Because everything is Krishna, so everything technically is pure. But it's just that the holy name is directly the Lord on the Bhagavan platform, while everything else we see is the Lord on the Paramatma or Brahman platform. But it's still Him, it's still pure. Right? But when we take it in relationship to Him as Bhagavan, that's where you say, this is impure, this is pure. But otherwise, the potency behind something, you know, is still Krishna. You know, it's just not a likable form because it's not in connection with the person. Like Prabhupada made the comment when he was in Calcutta and the Japanese were bombing Calcutta, that the potency of that bomb is Krishna. Otherwise, why is it has effect? But it's not an attractive form of Krishna. Right? Because compared to the person, then you're destroying things they could use in his service. So it's not, therefore you would say it's not good.
It's an attractive form of Lord Krishna if you're George Patton.
That's another thing. But the point is still. But then he's just seeing on that. It's not compared to Bhagavan. Then he's looking at it in... That's his own subjectivity. But the point is what he's attracted to is Krishna. But the rules and regulations of the Veda are said in what's in relationship to him as Bhagavan. That's why we'll say these things are pious, these things are not pious. And then we'll say, no, but that's, you know, that's just what they do, but here we do something different and all. Yes, you can look at it like that, but then the problem is then you're working within the universal form. You're not working within him as Bhagavan. Though the Lord is the universal form, he's unaffected. But we're working with it, we're being affected. So we're saying, no, we have to do things, let's say, in a Western way, but we're attached to that Western way. Not that. We're using the Western way and we're not attached. So Krishna has created this whole world, and he makes everything work, but he's unattached. Therefore, yes, the Western clothes in this way look good because of Krishna. Because otherwise, why is the same thing... It's exactly the same outfit, but after 10 years it looks stupid. But nothing's changed. Because Krishna is the modes put potency in and the modes take potency out. So in other words, it always was stupid. It's just that Krishna being put into it, it looks fabulous. You know what I'm saying? It's like you see pictures of Louis, right? Then he is the emperor. He is the most powerful king in Europe. Nobody messes with this guy. Right? But now if you took somebody and dressed him up like that today, you'd say he's a dandy. You know?
Unless he's Michael Jackson.
That's another thing, but he's dead. So, you know, the whole point is. You understand? So there's a potency there. That's what makes it work. And when that potency is removed, it doesn't work. That's the whole thing. Is Krishna, universal form, he makes everything function. So that's the thing. But then, so that's why we can connect everything to Krishna. We can do that on the Brahman and Paramatma level, if you understand it. But the point is you can't compare the Brahman and Paramatma level with Krishna on the Bhagavan level. Because Krishna says he is the Brahman and Paramatma, but he's beyond that. So when you start to say, oh, it doesn't matter what dress we wear, it says on one level, no, it doesn't. But on another level, it does. It doesn't matter. You can do devotional service no matter what you wear. But then the point comes is, on the Bhagavan level, why are you wearing that? Is it about Krishna or is it about yourself? And if you dig deep enough, you see it's about yourself. Because if it was about Krishna, then at home you'd wear the devotional clothes, and when you go out, then you'd wear the karmic clothes. But if at home you're wearing the karmic clothes, and then when you go to the temple you're wearing the karmic clothes, then I kind of think it's about oneself. Otherwise, if it was totally about Krishna, then you're going to the temple, you wear devotional clothes, of course. And you're going out for certain programs where people aren't going to appreciate, then you wear the karmic clothes. But no, they'll wear karmic clothes all the time or the like that. So when on the Bhagavan platform, who's it actually about? And even they're wearing it, do they see the potency of what they're wearing is connected to Krishna? So then it comes down, is it actually Krishna consciousness, or it's just using Krishna, using the higher principle, a pure principle, to establish something lower, like you were saying. Chanting the holy name, which is supremely pure, but using it for a mundane purpose. So, according to the 10th offense, then that's there. Point is even you're doing that, namabhas, you'll purify yourself. Like that, because you just, even though it's an offense, you keep chanting and it will purify and go away. But if you say, no, this offense, it's a holy name, and pure chanting are the same, that means one doesn't know philosophy. Then there's a motive there. There's an actual motive that you're trying to maintain your attachments and use the philosophy to support it. That's cheating. That's illegal. So we can say, yes, the Bowery Bum is there, and he can't relate to Krishna consciousness, so then you convince him about the Supreme, and so then you convince him that the pure water in his alcohol he can offer to Krishna. Or to another one, they explain that taste you get out of wine, that you think that's special, that specialness you find in the wine, that's Krishna. Both of those alcoholics became devotees. And now, do they continue drinking and saying, see, is Krishna consciousness all right? No. You move on. You advance. So in other words, anything can be connected to Krishna. I mean, absolutely anything. But you have to understand this. As you get purified, you progress until you get to the point where you're doing things that are pleasing to Krishna as Bhagavan. That's the whole point. If one doesn't understand that, one doesn't actually understand these esoteric points. So we use these esoteric things, these metaphysical, to support the transcendental. But if we use the metaphysical to support the mundane, then that's cheating. Yes, you had something? No? Yes.
So, regarding the dress, often devotees will say, well, how do we know that, you know, that's what Krishna actually wants us to wear?
But how do you know anything? Okay, so if we're going to go just on the point, if we're going to go by just taking that point, we'll get into it. So that means they're not confident of wearing or don't wear because they don't know if Krishna's wearing. But what about everything else they're doing? You know, they're in the toilet. They reach for that roll of toilet paper. How are they pleasing Krishna with that? What's the whole point? What is the You know, it's the quality of the toilet paper. No, I don't buy that cheap Russian stuff. I get, you know, proper 4-ply. So that's why it pleases Krishna. You understand? So the whole point is why is it only on the dress and the food and, you know, certain, you know, sadhana and certain etiquettes? That's where we question, well, does Krishna like? But everything else in our life, we just go on automatic pilot that everything's perfect. So only when it comes to something that's not Western, then we question. If it's Western, it's just, you know, we're fine. Does that make sense? So, just pointing out there, it means we're not fully using our intelligence in this. Okay? Okay, go ahead.
So it has to do with the consciousness.
It's the consciousness. But the point is that's no excuse for maintaining attachments because I'm saying, oh, I'm using a higher consciousness, but are you? You know, it's just like, let's say, the guy, there's something there, he always felt that the girl didn't think he was that together, so then he's trying to do some really fabulous thing for him, he gets the big, you know, fancy restaurant, he books this, he does all these fabulous things, makes all these arrangements, you know, like that, but then when the girl gets there, she's not satisfied. Why not? Because it's not about her, it's about him. So it looks like it's about her, but it's not.
I think the question is about the secondary. Is it, you often make the point that we should use the secondary that's pleasing to Krishna, and then
yes,
what's dictated in Shastra.
Yes.
So in any, I guess in any situation, if it's something that's not dictated in Shastra, then, you know, how do we...
But everything's dictated in Shastra. That's the whole point. We take it that it's not, but actually everything is defined in Shastra. See, we're looking at it, no, unless there's a secondary definition, an external definition, it's not described. But it will always be, there's the primary and then there's the metaphysical. And so, since there are unlimited situations, the Shastra doesn't try to define each and every one of those unlimited. It defines major ones enough that where if we use our intelligence, we can apply it into everything else. Like, perform your occupation to please him. So what does that mean? Giving the results, understanding the potency of how it works, how we behave, you know, like we discussed before in seventh canto, then do our job nicely, you know, it means another understand our duty, do that well, be favorably disposed towards whoever we're working for, be favorably disposed towards anybody connected with that person in connection with the occupation, and understand what's the actual goal of that occupation according to the mood of the person who owns it. If you do those four, then you'll be successful within a job, right? Now, why are we doing that? Not because, oh, if we do that, then I'll be successful. Oh, we're doing that because that pleases Krishna, and then automatically we're successful. So the first stage would be we do this because Shastra recommends this, it'll be better for us materially. But the actual point is, no, it'll please Krishna. So that's what we're looking at. So we're saying, oh, but how do you connect your job to Krishna? That's how you connect your job to Krishna. And then the results of that, you see that they're connected. So that means, if nothing else, we take the monetary part, connect that to Krishna. But even on the job, what are we supposed to do? What should we be doing?
So, in regarding devotional dress, wouldn't that, applying those same principles, wouldn't we be more conscientious about how we dress rather than what exactly we were wearing?
Yes, because if people were more conscious of how they dressed, then people would say less funny things about the Vedic dress. So, the thing is, you take a pair of pants, how many ways can you put it on? Right? One. Right? Even you put them on, it means upside down is not going to happen, right? Because you can't pull them up far enough, right? And if you put them on backwards, really hard to zip up, right? You know, it just doesn't work quite right. So that means there's only one way to put it on. So, therefore, bottom line, what does it come down to? Your basic Western clothes are clothes for idiots. People who can't dress, don't know how to dress, can't dress, they can put it on, right? But those who actually know how to put on clothes know they look bad. And those people, they don't look at what you're wearing, they're looking at how you wear it. So therefore, if you're wearing devotional clothes and you're wearing it nice, they can see this is worn nicely. So they don't care what it is. They look at how nicely it's worn. Because in that circle, someone shows up in a, you know, Japanese samurai outfit, but it looks good. You know what I'm saying? Someone else, in an African tribal outfit, it looks good. You know, saying so. Yes, it is the Vedic. The primary is how you wear it, but the point is if you can understand how you wear it, that subtlety, you could also understand the connection to Krishna. So what we're saying is, those that can't understand how you wear it, also can't understand how it connects to Krishna. So the point is those who are that fashion conscious, you could explain to them actually what's the principle. And they wouldn't have a problem with it, because there's a good chance that they wear a lot more things that are unsewn and that you wrap around yourself. And it's the people who can't relate to that, they're the ones that don't wear those things, because if they wore it, they'd look terrible. You know? Does that make sense? Okay, thus both verses refer to the Supreme Person who is the cause of everything, because the complete definition matches the Lord. Right? You can take part of it, it'll go to the jiva, part of it will go through Prakriti, but not complete. But the complete goes to the Lord, therefore it's talking about the Lord. Right? Very simple, straightforward. That's the far out thing about it. Right? It's so straightforward we wouldn't think of doing that. Right?
Like regarding the definition. It is speaking about the word Akshara, defining the word Akshara to be the Lord, not Pradhan and Jiva.
Yes.
So
you'd have to repeat that. All I heard was vroom, vroom.
Akshara means imperishable, that which is imperishable.
Yes.
So Lord is imperishable, as well as Pradhan and Jiva are also.
Yes, but what about the other terms that were used along with?
Yeah, but those terms are outside the definition of imperishable Akshara.
No, they're within in the definition of. Means that he's being established with Akshara, is imperishable, then imperishable also has other aspects to it. Right? You say that he's a great man. Okay, how is he great? He's powerful, he's chivalrous, you know, he's considerate, he's all these things. So they're all supportive of he's great. So imperishable is there, then all these other words that they're trying to fit to jiva and prakriti. That's how they're doing. That's how they say Akshara means these, because they take those other definitions and try to connect it to the jiva and to the pradhan. Does that make sense? So that's there, because you're starting with one quality and then you're going down qualities from there. Like there's always a hierarchy. Right? Because everything starts from Krishna and then expands from there. So in the same principle, everything has, you say sense-controlled. So what does sense-controlled means? It means you're not contemplating the objects of the senses. Right? It means that you are deciding what to do or not to do by what's recommended in Shastra. You know, it means you have focus, you have determination, because you know. How is it? Because you know if I perform a sinful act, I'll get this reaction. I perform pious, I'll get that reaction. So all these are sub of control of the senses. You understand? So what you have to see is whichever one you take, then all the other ones will go below. So in another definition, it might switch. You know what I'm saying? Just like in cooking, basically you use all the same ingredients in all preparations. It's just the proportion. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, something like that. Okay, Bhagavatam verse reference. Being omniscient, he is not matter. Having an invisible, non-material form, he is not a conditioned soul. Okay, so that's the why. Srimad Bhagavatam 8.3.26. Now, fully desiring a release from material life, I offer my respectful obeisances unto that Supreme Person, who is the creator of the universe, Vishva Shri Jam, who is himself the form of the universe, Vishvam, and who is nonetheless transcendental to this cosmic manifestation, Avishvam. He is the supreme knower of everything in this world, Vishvavedasham, the supersoul of the universes, Vishvatmanam. He is the unborn, Ajam Brahma, supremely situated Lord, Param Padam. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Right, so he is everything and he is transcendental. So let's see. 8.3.27. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme, the Supersoul, the Master of all mystic yoga, who is seen in the core of the heart by perfect mystics when they are completely purified and freed from the reactions of food of activity by practicing bhakti yoga. Right? So then, by bhakti we can see this. Without bhakti there'll be a confusion. Right? So, with bhakti we will take the situation and connect it up to Krishna. Right? Without Krishna consciousness, we'll take the situation and bring it down to mundane consciousness. So that's the point, is Shastra is there. It's a transcendental position. So then that, we can either take that and go from there up to Krishna. Or say it's in a spiritual position. We can take it up to the transcendental. Or we can take from the spiritual and bring it down to the mundane, karma and jnana. Either way. This is what... If we can catch this point, is that it's not what we're working with, it's how we're working with it. Now, sometimes someone's, because of their consciousness, is working with an inferior point, so you may talk on the inferior point. But the real thing is the improper consciousness. Okay. Sutra 1.2.23. Rupo Upanyasach Cha. Rupa, of a form. Upanyashat, because of mention. Cha, also. And the two passages indicate the Lord because of other passages which specifically describe the form of the Lord using the same description. Sutra Prakashika. Because the form of the Akshara is described elsewhere in the Mundaka Upanishad as the original cause of all causes, the form of Akshara here must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It cannot be either Pradhan or Jiva, right, because they're introduced later. Right? The Lord is glancing upon, right, and the Jiva is introduced in that glance. So it has to be who's beyond. Right? Shri Govinda Bhashya. The Lord is indicated because other passages described Upanishad, the form, Rupa, of the Lord called Akshara, as the source of all beings, Brahma Yonim. When the perceiver sees the Lord, Isham, a golden person, the source of Brahma, the cause of the universe, that person, full of knowledge, washed of piety and sin, spotless, attains a form similar to to the Lord's. So, yeah. Mundaka Upanishad 3.13. The form is Paramatma, not Jiva or Prakriti. So he's saying his other passages describe this transcendental person and describe the form, so that's the point. Bhagavatam verse reference. The form of Antaryami is the source of all. Such a form as this cannot belong to a Jiva. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.3. It is believed that all the universal planetary systems are situated on the extensive body of the Purusha, but he has nothing to do with the created material ingredients. His body is eternally in spiritual existence, par excellence. 1.3.4. The devotees, with their perfect eyes, see the transcendental form of the Purusha, who has thousands of legs, thighs, arms, and faces. All extraordinary. In that body there are thousands of heads, ears, eyes, and noses. They are decorated with thousands of helmets and glowing earrings and are adorned with garlands. So that form is beyond the Jiva. Sutra 1.2.24. Wow. 3 minutes. Prakaranat cha. Prakaranat, because of the context, cha also. The text refer to the Lord because of the context. Sutra Prakashika. Right? Because, chala will be you change the context. Right? So then you have to know the context is important. Something's defined in a context that must be understood in that context. You can't change the context and then. Sutra Prakashika. The Akshara here must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead because of the content, context. The Puranas use the word Akshara unambiguously to refer to the Supreme Lord. Sri Govinda Bhashya. The meaning is clear. The Smriti Shastra also confirms that this text refers to Lord Vishnu. The Vishnu Purana 65-70 says, the Mundaka Upanishad of the Atharva Veda, says there are two types of knowledge to be known, Paravidya, to attain the Lord, Akshara, and Aparavidya, consisting of the Rig Veda and other Samhitas. This Akshara, the Lord, is invisible, without old age, inconceivable, without birth, without decay, indefinable, without material form, and without hands or feet. He is powerful, all-pervasive, eternal, the cause of all beings, without cause, pervading everything but unpervaded, from which everything arises. The wise know this Lord. The supreme abode is Brahman. It is the object of meditation for persons desiring liberation. What is described in the scriptures is this most subtle, supreme abode of Vishnu. He is called Bhagavan, the form of the supreme Atma. The word Bhagavan denotes the first imperishable being. This is the highest truth concerning Bhagavan, as explained. By this truth, one truly realizes the highest knowledge. It is superior to everything else in the three Vedas. So here's, they've given this in the point, is that from this, everything else we were discussing before, one could extend through one's understanding. But that's why then, we have, the Puranas are there, the comments of the Acharyas, so that we can actually catch that. Otherwise, from this, that you know, everything's pervaded, but he's unpervaded. So that means he pervades everything. That's why everything's attractive. But that attractiveness that's there has to be seen in perspective of him who is beyond that, who's unpervaded. Does that make sense? But generally, we won't catch all that. It's only because we've heard all this a million times from other angles, then one might see that. But before, they could read this and understand that and come to the transcendental position. So that's why then the Puranas are the, you know, more important for understanding these things. Bhagavatam verse reference. The Antaryami is most subtle. He is the goal of those who are conversant with superior knowledge, Paravidya. The hymns of the Vedas convey gross, inferior knowledge, Aparavidya. Right? We're talking about this is so subtle we can't relate to it, and that's gross. You know, like the universal form. That's the gross form of the Lord. Right? Yeah. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:12-17. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Uddhava, the Supreme Lord gives life to every living being and is situated within the heart along with the life air and primal sound vibration. The Lord can be perceived in his subtle form within the heart by one's mind. Since the Lord controls the minds of everyone, even great demigods like Lord Shiva, the Supreme Lord also assumes a gross form as the various sounds of the Vedas, composed of short and long vowels and consonants of different intonations." So it's still the Lord, but the point is people are seeing the external form of it rather than the original form. 8:36. "My Lord, as the fire in Arani wood is covered, you and your unlimited knowledge are covered by the material modes of nature. Your mind, however, is not attentive to the activities of the modes of nature. Those who are advanced in spiritual knowledge are not subject to the regulative principles directed in the Vedic literature. Because such advanced souls are transcendental, you personally appear in their pure minds. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you." Here's from this, connecting this verse with that previous verse, then you understand is that there are those who on Paravidya, then they follow other points that are made within the Veda. And so they're not actually bound by those rules. They're bound by the rule of seeing it in connection to Krishna. But those who aren't seeing on that transcendental platform, they're bound by the rule because all they see is that rule. And so if they don't perform that rule, they're not connected to the Lord. You understand? So it's not that there's a difference in the two, in the form. They're both following the regulation, but one is bound by the regulation and one's not. One's engaging the regulation in the Lord's service. The other one is bound by it, otherwise there's no connection to the Lord. And there's a good chance he doesn't even see the connection. Right? Because we generally take, he doesn't have to follow the rules means he doesn't follow any rules. No, he doesn't have to follow the rules means it's not by following the rules that connects him to the Lord. He's connected to the Lord without the rules. He uses those rules as the secondary to manifest his affection to the Lord. Like that. Yeah? Okay. So, end here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai. Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki. Jai Natai Gaura ki.